Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hello and welcome to Circling the Bases, proudly presented by RotoWorld and NBC Sports. My name is DJ Short, and I'm back here once again with Eric Samulski. We are in the home stretch of the MLB season here. Most teams have about 12 games remaining, give or take, on their respective schedules. So we're going to discuss how to approach things in fantasy leagues as the regular season finishes up here. Favorable matchups, both for hitters and pitchers. Streamers to consider, pitching staffs to attack, all that good stuff. Eric, how you doing?
I'm good. I am holding on to the thinnest of leads in one of my OCs, and it would be nice to get my first ever NFBC win. But, you know, Chris Sale and some of my pitchers don't want to help me out. Last start was good. But so, yeah, so there's still some of us grinding these final weeks, trying to do everything we can to just gain a point, a point sometimes, just trying to, you know, keeps you from, you know, competing or, you know, winning some money or going home empty handed after months and months of work.
Yeah, I'm mostly playing for pride at this point. There are some leagues where I have a chance. I'm in a bunch of score sheet leagues too. I don't know if you've ever tried score sheet, but they're really fun. It's like a mix of fantasy and simulation type stuff where you like set a lineup and a bullpen and pitching rotation, all that stuff. Nice. So I have a chance in those kind of leagues, but in some of the more competitive leagues I'm in, I'm not super high. In Tout Wars, I'm in fourth place with no real chance to climb any higher. But I like playing for pride. Maybe that annoys some people that are really in it. I like playing all the way to the end.
I am the same way. I mean, like, I try to be respectful on the waiver wire if, if I'm out of it, if I can't win any money, if I can't place, I'm not going to like use the hammer if I have it, but I'll put bids on guys and I'll try and pick people up. And I'm trying to always kind of get better and improve my standing in these leagues, especially when, you know, you're doing like industry leagues like Tout. You know, I'm in a huge battle in AL Tout for third place where like I don't really have a shot at third, but like I kind of do, but also it's my first year in Tout and I prefer to do as best as I can. And then I always tell people too, like, you know, playing or paying attention in these final couple weeks might just give you a little tidbit, a little edge for next year too. You're seeing guys get an opportunity, you're seeing, you know, you're still kind of like focusing on these new players and these new opportunities that pop up, and maybe it makes you early on somebody next year.
Right. For a long time, you know, there was all that like, don't pay attention to what happens in spring training, don't take seriously what happens in September. Do you believe in that mantra, or do you think it's kind of like a case by case?
I think it's case by case. I think in any small sample size, you don't want to like over rely on it, but I do think like you're seeing guys get opportunities now who might not have had opportunities earlier on in the year. And if they're producing and then they get that opportunity again next year, then, you know, okay, we now can see a little bit of what they're like as a player. I'm not necessarily buying major skills growth in like a 3-week sample and being like, oh, he cut his strikeout rate by X, so he's going to go into next year and not strike out. But, you know, guys who are finally getting that shot, like, you know, the internet's favorite sensation Sawyer Gibson Long.
I was going to say, is top 20 starter next year?
Right, exactly. but, you know, a guy like that who now you might take a flyer on at the end of drafts next year because you've seen a few starts. And if he opens the year in the rotation, you're like, okay, I've seen what he can do. I've seen four or five starts by that point. And no, I'm not taking him, you know, in the top 100. But is he next year's Kyle Bradish, somebody that you're taking outside of the top 300 who, you know, produces good value for you? I mean, possibly. And that was kind of like what it was for Bradish, too, where the second half of his season was a lot better than early on. And we kind of like let that carry over into next year.
Right. Exactly. So we're going to talk about some streamers and favorable matchups and all that good stuff. But I think the number one thing you have to keep in mind over this next, you know, week and a half, a little more than a week and a half, is to be nimble and show up. Those are, I think, the two most important things. More than any other starting pitcher we're going to offer you here, I think you have to keep in mind just randomness is going to happen. It's a small sample of games, so naturally, like, someone you wouldn't expect is going to hit four home runs or something. Mm-hmm. Pitchers are going to be shut down and or have abbreviated outings. Teams that are already clinched a postseason spot, they may bench a regular that you would expect to be in the lineup. So you just have to be nimble. You have to expect the unexpected. So there's a couple of ways to go about going through this time period. If you don't feel great about a streamer, for example, on a particular day, but you know you want that volume, like, why not get a reliever? Why not get someone who you know is a middle inning reliever who could get you some wins? And I think especially now where pitchers aren't pitching as deep, that's happening anyway, so keep an eye out for that kind of thing. I think also grabbing multi-position eligible players to have on your bench right now makes a lot of sense, because if one of your regulars is benched, you can just plug and play with some of those multi-position eligible players. Two things I like to keep in mind going into, you know, the final couple of weeks of the season.
Yeah, and I also just say, like, if you are competing and, you know, you have until the end of this stretch run, and you're also in like a weekly lock league, like, you gotta play it safe. Like, I benched Yelich even though they have seven games in a lot of leagues when I saw he wasn't in Monday's lineup, just because they don't really have to play him. They have a pretty good lead in the Central, and yes, they say he's day to day, but, you know, I would rather roll the dice and miss the production from Yelich and get certified production from somebody else that I know I'm going to get, then keep Yelich in my lineup and he plays maybe one game. So I think you have to also keep that in mind if you're in weekly lock leagues, is sometimes boring and safe is better than a guy who, you know, you're not really sure what that situation is like.
Right. The volume matters. Pitching, that could be a little tricky if you're trying to go volume. Yeah. Hitters, getting the at-bats, that's huge. We'll get into some of these team schedules, matchups, that kind of stuff in a minute. Before we do, just a word for our listeners and viewers. It's an old-time AFC rivalry renewed on Sunday night as TJ Watt and the Steelers travel to the desert to face Devontae Adams and the Raiders in Las Vegas. Coverage begins at 7 p.m. Eastern, only on NBC and Peacock.
Ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
As you can see, I'm very happy right now. I am a Washington football fan, so you know this may be the high point of the season for me. The Commanders are playing the Bills next, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we've got a showdown.
See what happens from here. But I'm happy today about at least how my season started. Fantasy, I'm doing pretty well too. I did get cut from a guillotine league this past week. Thanks, Josh Jacobs, for that. Now it's fun.
I listen. We're people that write about and do fantasy all the time. We still sometimes struggle in leagues, and I am currently 0-2 in my home fantasy league because I decided to ride the Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase tandem.
Who wouldn't?
And threw in a little Josh Jacobs in the mix as well. So it's been a rough start. But we'll get back on it. That Commanders Bills game, and then we'll get back to baseball. But it could be a great game, and it could just be Sam Howell and Josh Allen taking turns doing dumb hero ball stuff that leads to like the just a bunch of what the hell is going on kind of moments.
Yeah, I think Josh Allen certainly is one of those players who tries to do too much sometimes. I could see that in Sam Howell too so far, but he's learning. You know, sure. This will be his fourth career start this weekend. So mistakes are expected. You could say that for young pitchers as well. I think that's a rule we generally follow when it comes to starting pitchers, especially young ones. Young hitters, I think you're more willing to roll with it, but pitchers, you have to be careful. So you wrote about Sawyer Gibson Long this week. He was not a highly touted prospect, but here he is, and he's looking great so far. Had a wonderful start against the Angels over the weekend, who, by the way, are just a total mess on both sides of the ball right now, and you should absolutely stream against them. that's no doubt. But what should fantasy managers know about Sawyer Gibson Long? He gets the Athletics on Friday. It feels like automatic. But how much of this is, just the level of competition he's facing? Has he changed something? What should people know?
So, and I will admit that, I wasn't super familiar with Sawyer Gibson Long until he kind of emerged. And there's some prospect writers I know who were writing about him, July and August, where he was kind of like changing some things up this year, in particular adding both a cutter and a sinker in the minor leagues. The cutter hasn't really carried over to the major league level, but the sinker has. He's throwing it 22% of the time. And there's a great YouTube video that's an interview with him that I linked to in my article, which you can find on NBCSports.com, in the Roto World section under Fantasy Baseball, but where he talks about how adding the sinker in helped his four-seam fastball to play up because hitters started looking for that sinker hard and in and also low and out of the zone. And he throws that sinker, and it is a true sinker. It dives down. It's not like a kind of a two-seam, and he gets swings and misses with it. But it just helped to have his fastball, which is pretty mediocre and doesn't have a lot of velocity, help that play up, which is kind of really all he needed because he has a really good slider and a pretty good changeup as well. So he just needed something to keep people off of the fastball. Now, we joked about it at the beginning of the show. This is not a Cole Ragan situation. This is not a 2022 into 23 Kyle Bradish. This isn't somebody who's going to explode and be a huge asset for you. He's a solid pitcher. But listen, he gets Oakland and then Cleveland to end the season. If the schedules hold true. And those are not two offenses that you really worry about. In fact, the Tigers pitchers in general are pitchers that I'm really trying to get on my team if they're not already. I mean, Skubal is on most teams. He looks like he's going to get the A's and the Royals. Gibson Long gets the A's and the Guardians. And then Eduardo Rodriguez also gets the A's and the Guardians. And so, I'm picking up Sawyer Gibson Long if I have the opportunity, and I did. And I'm making sure Skubal and Rodriguez are in my lineups if I have a chance to.
Right. It seems like Eduardo Rodriguez may not pitch again this season. We'll see.
Yeah,
he left again, on Monday.
That's the danger of these schedules at the end is like we're going based on what we have right now. And there's always they're likely going to change because, guys are going to get shut down. There's no reason to push somebody. Somebody's going to clinch and they're going to say, oh, we'll save him. Currently slated for that. they may go to, like, you know, they're going to put Joey Wentz in the rotation. But I would just keep a look at the Tigers rotation for some possible streamers at the end.
Yeah. You know, when you see a festival concert list released of all the bands that are playing, or a boxing event or pro wrestling, it says card subject to change.
Yes.
That is the final 2 weeks of the MLB season.
Absolutely.
You, like I said, you gotta stay nimble with your decision-making in the next few days. Don't take anything for granted, for sure. So let's look at some of these other pitching staffs that you are taking a look at to take advantage of here. So you have the Braves, which feels like a given, but they have seven games against the Nationals, who are one of the worst offenses in baseball and been especially bad in September. They're the worst offense in baseball this month so far.
Yeah, the Braves feel like a given. I think really the only person who is on the fence right now is Kyle Wright, in terms of whether he's available in your leagues or not. He was obviously on the IL for a really long time. And so he was available in some leagues he was stashed, and things, you know, haven't been great for him since coming off the IL, but he also has pitched against the Phillies twice. And that's a really, really good offense. So I think you want to take things with a little bit of a grain of salt there. He got up over, he got to basically 80 pitches in his last start. So maybe he's 85, 90. And we saw a 24% whiff rate and 28% CSW in this start against the Phillies. The knuckle curve, which is kind of his bread and butter, looked good and you know, had good results. So even though the Phillies got to him, you know, the Phillies aren't the Nationals. And so I think Kyle Wright is interesting if he was not stashed in your league, or if somebody stashed him and then saw him get rocked twice and dropped him. You know, the Braves are going to need him for the postseason. So I think they're going to want him to be fully stretched out.
Right. And Max Fried has a kind of an issue with his hand right now. Yeah. We'll see, you know, how deep he pitches if the Braves decide to rest him for the final week. Definitely something to keep in mind. Moving forward here, the Phillies, they get the Mets for two series. They have the Pirates as well. So I don't know if there's a lot out there, maybe like a Ranger Suarez and kind of a shallower league would probably be the target there.
Yeah, I would say Ranger Suarez and Christopher Sanchez, you know, the two guys who are most likely to be on wires, and the two guys who are, you know, I think they've proven their worth, their merit over the end. You know, I tend to lean towards Suarez. I think he's pitching really well right now, and I think we've seen him, you know, do this in the past where he goes on some really strong stretches. And so I trust him in games against New York and then Pittsburgh again, if this holds true. But I would take Sanchez as well.
I like the Cubs matchups this week. So they get the Pirates and the Road Rockies. So that's kind of, that's automatic. So I feel like any Cubs starter this week, I'm probably going to roll with. I know Javier Assad's kind of come back down to earth, but you know, later on the week, if Kyle Hendricks, that's kind of automatic at this point,
Jordan
I would
Wicks.
Think. Yeah, Jordan Wicks, Jameson Taillon. I think he got pushed back to later in the week, so he gets the Rockies, at least as of now on Friday. I know Taillon hasn't had the season we were hoping, but he's been a little better recently. So I think you should fire at will with any of those Cubs starters this week.
Yeah, I would agree. I wish Assad was throwing better recently.
Yeah.
You know, he's kind of lost his cutter a little bit, but I'm all in on Jordan Wicks. And then you're just going to probably want to get these guys off of your roster after this week, because you're probably not going to throw them against Atlanta and Milwaukee. Really the only one I would even consider pitching is Justin Steele, and he is scheduled to face the Braves, which is not really a matchup that you want, but you could talk yourself into the narrative, right? If he's in contention for the Cy Young, they're probably not going to pull him early. He's going to get, you know, as many innings as he can. Maybe they bump him because of that, and he gets Milwaukee, which is more interesting. But these other guys, I think you get the start against Pittsburgh or Colorado and then shuffle them off.
So let's look at Wednesday, because probably most people are listening to this Tuesday night into Wednesday morning. So I think there's a lot of interesting starters who are widely available that are slated to pitch on Wednesday. Bailey Ober just came back from the minors, pitched pretty well. I know he didn't pitch great prior to being sent down. Gets the Reds, who are a bit depleted. I don't think they're as scary as maybe it seems. They are in Cincinnati. Do you roll with Ober in this matchup?
That's tough for me because it is. I don't like streaming pitchers in that ballpark. But as you mentioned, from August 1st on, the Reds are 18th in baseball in OPS. The Reds are 26th in baseball in batting average. So the offense hasn't really been there. I think the Twins have a shot also to steal a win there if you're looking for it. So I'm on the fence about it, but I would certainly take it. Again, this was supposed to be when Taillon was going against Pittsburgh. So, you know, keep an eye on that. I would prefer that start if he does go. And then I also kind of like Michael King against Toronto. You know, Toronto is middle of the pack right now. Since August 1st, they're 15th in batting average as a team. They are 15th in OPS as a team. They are striking out a decent amount as well. So, and King has looked pretty good since joining the rotation. I don't love it, but if you're in a deep league situation, I think that there's some viability there.
Now, some folks may have like rage dropped Lucas Giolito. He looked really good in his last start. Gets the Royals. I think I'm going with Giolito. I mean, you know, there's blowout potential there, but, you know, he's made some tweaks, which you wrote about in your piece. I think you got to roll Giolito here.
I think you definitely roll Giolito. The Royals had a really good stretch for a while. Offensively speaking, they've come back a little bit down to earth. But, yeah, in the article that I published yesterday, I mentioned that basically Giolito was going back to an older version of his slider, which was a little slower and had a different release point. And that was the best version of his slider, which he was throwing in March and April. So him going back to that is enticing for us. And it's worked the last couple starts. So, the hope is that he continues that. And I think the Royals' opportunity for him, if he's available in your league, is a smash spot.
I like Wade Miley as well against the Cardinals. Tyler O'Neill just went down too, right? Again. So I feel like that start for Miley looks even better with O'Neill out of the mix there in that Cardinals lineup. The Cardinals are just not very good, both offensively and pitching. I think they're a team to target to try to get some wins down the stretch here.
Yeah, they're a team that has certainly lost interest a little bit, I would say. I mean, obviously, you know, Wainwright picking up his 200th and that whole story was great. And, you know, but that's also one of those moments where it's a team that has nothing really to play for that just achieved a great moment for a player that's kind of like been the face of their franchise for a while or one of the. And, you know, now what's left? And they're a contender that didn't contend. And it's easy to see them take their foot off the gas. So I like that call for sure.
Thursday is a bit iffy. I already mentioned Kyle Hendricks, which feels like a no-brainer. Ryan Pepiot gets the Giants. That feels like a no-brainer if he's still out there. Two kind of more risky plays. Do you go with David Peterson against the Phillies? He's been a lot better recently. Do you go with Griffin Canning against the Rays? I probably have a little more confidence in Canning than Peterson, but I could see if you're desperate, you both could be starts.
Yeah, I would say, you know, we mentioned Ranger Suarez earlier, who's also currently set to go on Thursday. That would be my preferred option of all of them. And I would lean Canning over Peterson. The Phillies have just been too good lately. They're second in baseball in OPS since August 1st. They're fifth in baseball on average. They're first in ISO as a team. And
second in OPS over the past 30 days among MLB teams. Only the Astros have been better.
Yeah, it just scares me for Peterson. I can't do it.
I don't blame you as a Mets fan. Friday, we talked about Gibson Long. That's a no-brainer against the A's. Jameson Taillon, depending on when he starts, but Road Rockies, that's a yes. Do you trust Brandon Pfaadt against the Yankees in New York?
I don't. I just have a hard time. His fastball is not good and gets hit really hard. And the Yankees are still clinging. It's unrealistic, their playoff hopes, but they're not eliminated yet. And you know, they called up a bunch of their young prospects who are playing hard and they look much better than they did earlier. And I think you can see a couple home runs here. I do like Chris Sale against the White Sox. He's probably not available in any leagues, but I expect a little bit of a bounce back there. And then I in sneaky in a deep league, I like Ryan Yarbrough.
Yes.
Because he is following an opener, and so that
might be Kershaw Friday.
Yeah, and we kind of like that because it does increase his chances of getting a win, because if he throws four, he's been going like four and a third, four and two thirds, whatever. But if he does that behind an opener, it gives him a good shot for a win. You know, there's been a lot of talk on Twitter and a lot of stuff about how the Dodgers have reshaped his pitch mix a little bit, and that's led to more swinging strikes and more strikeouts. And so there's a shot you get maybe like six strikeouts in four innings from Yarbrough and get a win out of it against a Giants offense that hasn't been great. So I think that's a sneaky play.
Yeah, and it was a sneaky trade by the Dodgers in the first
place. Yeah.
I think knowing they were going to have to rely on some of their young starters, probably didn't know they'd have to rely on him quite this much or their young starters, but Yarbrough's been great. 2.90 ERA, 31 strikeouts, just three walks, has four wins, and I believe a save in his nine appearances. So he has been amazing and likely to be a significant part of their postseason plans as well. So he's definitely someone to keep an eye on. You know, even beyond fantasy baseball, moving forward here. So Saturday, you know, we'll see what happens in terms of schedules, but Nick Pivetta kind of interesting against the White Sox. We mentioned Jordan Wicks as of now, probable starters that I saw he's lined up for Saturday against the Rockies. We'll see. JP Sears did not pitch great on Monday, lost to Brian Wu, who we like a lot. But Sears, his final two starts, he gets the Tigers on Saturday. It's the Angels in his final start of the season. I could see potentially picking up Sears for these final two starts.
Yeah, I think that, you know, the surface level results were not great from yesterday, as you mentioned, but there's been enough intriguing development with him, you know, with the pitches besides his sweeper, that I think he's rounding into, you know, a solid arm. Also, you know, 23% whiff rate last night is not terrible. The changeup and the sweeper did what they needed to do. So I think, you know, the Mariners are a solid offense. So I think against a lesser offense that becomes playable. You know, you mentioned Jordan Wicks, and I'm looking
at
Pivetta, right? Gavin Williams is coming off a strong start for the Guardians against an Orioles team, which again, like, these are the matchups to keep an eye on. The Orioles have clinched. They're currently playing for something because they don't know who they're going to play. They're looking for seeding. But as we get closer to the end of the season, you want to check if these teams actually have something to play for, because you might then start to see, you know, one or two. They're not going to – this isn't football week 17 where you're going to see everybody hit the bench. But you might get a start where if Gavin Williams goes into Baltimore and all of a sudden Cedric Mullins and Gunnar Henderson and Adley Rutschman aren't in the lineup, that drastically changes the way you look at that Orioles lineup. And I know that if you're in a weekly league, you can't make good use of that. But if you're in a daily moves league, that is something you should really kind of keep an eye on as we get to these final days of the season.
So I'm not going to waste too much time to talk about Sunday. We'll see how the rest of the week develops here. We're going to talk about hitters in a second. Before we do, now that the NFL season is in full swing, we've got you covered in addition to our three shows a week. Check out Fantasy Football Happy Hour, three Roto-World football shows a week, I should say. Check out the Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry and Bet the Edge every weekday. You can watch the Happy Hour at noon and 4 p.m. on Peacock. It's also available on the NBC on NFL YouTube page. Bet the Edge drops every Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. on our NBC Sports YouTube page. Both shows are available wherever you listen to your podcast. So definitely check those out.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic, because we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
So let's talk hitters here. I love the Brewers this week. And you mentioned Christian Yelich, which I get that, but what with the uncertainty over Yelich, it opens up opportunity for other players. So Brewers get the Cardinals, they get the Marlins, and they're going to get the lesser Marlins starters here. So that really opens things up for some pickups here. Mark Canha has been pretty hot. I think he's probably rostered in most leagues anyways, given how he's played. He was a little bit banged up recently too, so maybe someone dropped him. But you should make sure Mark Canha is picked up in your league. I would say Tyrone Taylor potentially too, depending on if Yelich is in the lineup. Taylor, you know, there's some volatility there, but there's also some category juice. So those are two I'm keeping an eye on with the Brewers, but I think they have a really nice schedule this week.
Yeah, Taylor started five of the last six. You mentioned Canha has been really good. And then it's like, I think I might draw the line at Josh Donaldson, who I know is in the lineup all the time. But the results just really haven't been there. But I picked up my fair share of Canha and Tyrone Taylor, depending on league sizes, this week. And I like that. And I'll go for an acronym that's close, but isn't quite the same. But I like targeting Minnesota hitters to end the year. So Minnesota has nine games to end the season. They face the Angels, the A's, and then they go to Coors to face the Rockies. So I think right now, like, that is – you're not going to find an offense with better matchups than that. Obviously, there are some really strong offenses. You know, Royce Lewis is doing crazy things. He's not really available anywhere. But, you know, in September – you know, Willie Castro's hitting 280, two home runs, two stolen bases. So speed, that's
multi-position eligible too.
Some speed. Yeah. And then, you know, Jorge Polanco and Edward Julian has actually struggled, but Jorge Polanco is looking good. Matt Wallner is still in the lineup all the time. He's got some power. So if you're going to, you know, you're facing the Angels and then you're going to Coors, somebody like Wallner could be interesting. And then Alex Kirilloff, you know, has returned, and Donovan Solano is now kind of like out of the lineup. So that is something to keep an eye on. But Kirilloff is playing regularly again, and he's always produced when healthy. So that's another name I really like.
Yeah, Ryan Jeffers, Shelley Verstreet mentioned Jeffers in our pickup of the day piece today with Ryan Yarbrough as well. So two really good potential pickups there. Jeffers has hit the ball hard all year. He's been very underrated. Mm-hmm. So if you want to, you know, if it's a league with daily lineup changes, I think it more suits Jeffers for the next few days. But I like him as a pretty good call here as a catcher over the final week and a half.
I'll just throw out also in deep leagues that Michael Taylor came off the IL and then immediately started in center field. You know, he's only hitting 227 this year, but 20 home runs and 13 stolen bases. So again, in deeper formats, if you're looking for somebody who maybe could chip in some power and speed, there's a possibility that Michael Taylor is going to, you know, kind of come back into full-time at bats, which could impact Willie Castro. So if you're listening to this later in the week, that is something to watch, is between those two guys who kind of, is getting this, the fair share of the at bats.
Now, I don't think anybody is like, oh, I got to pick up hitters from the A's. Like, that's not what people are looking to do. But you look at how they finish out the year. They get the Tigers. They get the Twins. They get the Angels. At least two of those series there I really like, potentially. And Zach Jelloff is out there in a lot of leagues right now. And he can do a little bit of everything. I'm a bit surprised by how available he is right now. He's someone I would probably stash.
Yeah, I liked what he was doing for a while. And so I think that he's absolutely somebody that can be stashed. In an AL only league, so in, you know, tout. But again, if you're in a really deep league, Tony Kemp is back to leading off and playing relatively regularly. He has 3 stolen bases this month, so that's kind of a speed only play. But again, if you're in deep leagues and looking for, you know, somebody to get on and run a little bit, and then I still see Seth Brown available in a decent amount of leagues because, you know, he hits cleanup for the A's, and who wants that? But yeah, he's hitting cleanup. He's hitting .293 in the month of September. And, you know, I think there's some decent potential production there as well. And Ryan Noda would be the other name in deep leagues that I would say is hitting pretty well right now.
Yeah, I like that. Looking kind of a little deeper at some of these pickups that are available right now. I know this week probably not so great for the Rockies, but like you said, finishing the year in Coors Field, their final 2 series, Chris Bryant, like, you got to make sure he's in your lineup. I know it's, you know, a while since we could rely on him just because he's never on the field, but he's been pretty decent since coming off the IL. He's homered a couple of times. I would make sure he's active here. And Elijah Montero could be worth a shot in deeper formats as well. He's picked things up a bit recently, so I'd make sure those guys are rostered for next week.
Yeah, and I would say in 2 catcher leagues, depending on if your league has given Hunter Goodman catcher eligibility because he was a catcher in the minors, you know, he's not playing every day anymore, but he's playing, you know, 4 times a week and isn't catching. So again, as in a 2 catcher format, that can be intriguing. And then another team that I like, which we mentioned, the good matchups for the Cubs this week. Again, this week is against Pittsburgh and Colorado. Then it's the Braves and Brewers. So I'm not really kind of looking beyond this week. But, you know, I think like Seiya Suzuki, a lot of people wrote him off when he lost the spot in the lineup. And, you know, we talked about how on this podcast about how he wasn't delivering and then he promptly delivered. But he's still available because people have kind of written him off. Mike Tauchman is back to playing seemingly every day as a center fielder. And then keep an eye on, you know, Nick Madrigal got hurt and didn't play on Sunday. And then they had an off day Monday, which could lead to some at-bats for Patrick Wisdom, who, you know, we know what he does. But facing a bad pitching staff, that could be a good source of power if he is getting those opportunities.
Yeah, so just to finish things up here, there's a couple other names I wanted to mention. Let's see. Oh, I want to get your sense on Willy Abreu with the Red Sox. I know he got banged up on Monday night, so we'll have to check his status, but he's played against right-handers pretty regularly recently for the Red Sox and has been a decent addition here in deeper fantasy leagues. Do you think he's worthy of a pickup over the final week and a half?
Yeah, I do. They are not really hitting him against lefties, so that is something you want to keep in mind. You know, they faced Jordan Montgomery last night, so he wasn't in the starting lineup. But he's leading off against right-handed pitching. He's hitting well. He's hit well throughout the year. I mean, he's hitting .364 in his 20 games. 3 stolen bases. He didn't steal a lot in the minors with the Red Sox this year, but he stole 31 bases last year across Houston and Boston's minor leagues. So they're in. He's got 3 stolen bases, as I mentioned, so far this year. So there's some potential to run. And then this Red Sox lineup, even though they're not contending anymore, like, there's still enough thump in there that if you're leading off, you're going to be a decent shot for some runs. So I do really like Willy Abreu. And then I'll say, like, if you're looking at Boston again, they've kind of gone back to Luis Urias as the main second baseman. So that's a name to keep an eye on. And then Sadan Rafaela is playing pretty much every day between center field and shortstop. And he's another guy who's a rookie who's striking out a lot, but producing. So those would be some names if you're targeting the Red Sox.
TJ Friedl, if he's out there, he's available in almost 50% of Yahoo leagues. The Reds are at home this week. He's played really well at home this season, not a huge surprise. So if he's out there, I'd make sure he's rostered. It's been interesting to see what the Reds are doing right now. Harrison Bader landed on the injured list. They already DFA'd Hunter Renfro. So Friedl's going to play a lot here over the final week and a half. Roddy Mauricio, he's eligible between second base and shortstop. I've actually played third base the past couple of days, which has been pretty interesting to see. I mean, the Mets are going to play him every day, and he's been running like crazy. So another one of those multi-position eligible guys who should be picked up. He's available in 75% of Yahoo leagues at the moment. If you're looking for any saves here, I think Julian Merriweather with multiple Cubs relievers landing on the injured list, unfortunately. And the Cubs are playing for something, too, so that's important. So he's going to get some late-inning work for sure. Tanner Scott, you could say the same thing with the Marlins. They're obviously playing for something as well. So kind of a no-brainer that they should be added, but make sure they're not out on waivers right now.
Yeah, and Tyler Kinley has seemingly taken over the closer's role in Colorado. Again, who knows how many saves that's going to be, but you know, could sneak a couple against the Cubs. We don't really know how that series is going to go, so that's a name to watch. And then the last offense that I would just focus on, the Padres, you know, end the season with three games against the Cardinals, three against the Giants, three against the White Sox. Those pitching staffs have all been kind of like bottom third over the last month or so. A lot of the Padres are guys that are already on your roster. I would just say if you didn't know that the Padres re-picked up Jurickson Profar, the Padres re-picked up Jurickson Profar, and he's playing about two-thirds of the game, hitting .364 in the month of September. So he could be a guy who's out there in deeper leagues. Luis Camposano in a two catcher format has been pretty good and is catching, you know, pretty much every game right now. He's every now and then gets kind of spelled, and then it hasn't led to results yet, but Matthew Batten is starting literally every game for the Padres. He's multi-position eligible. He's hitting only .218 in the month of September, but he had 27 stolen bases and 12 home runs in 86 AAA games this year. So he's a guy who's in the lineup every single day who can run. So, you know, maybe if you're in a really deep format and, you know, you're hurting for somebody that's at bats and potential stolen bases there from good old Matthew Batten.
That's a great baseball name. So there's that as well.
Yeah, it also kind of seems like British royalty. Isn't there like a Lord Mountbatten or something?
There should be.
Yeah.
He could be knighted someday. We'll see. Maybe. If he saves your fantasy baseball season, he should be knighted for sure. Good stuff. Like I said at the beginning of the show, stay nimble. Things are going to change. So expect those changes to the lineup. Have some backup plans in place and show up. Like, fill out a lineup every day. Sometimes that's half the battle.
Do the bare minimum.
Yeah, yes.
Do the bare minimum.
I'm all about the bare minimum. good stuff. Remember to subscribe to Circling the Bases wherever you get your podcasts. You can actually find all your favorite NBC Sports shows on Amazon Music. Just head to amazon.com/NBC Sports. Check out the Roto World Football Show. The season well underway. Lots of waiver wire pickups out there. Today, so get your claims in Tuesday night and get set for week 3. Also, follow us on Twitter or X if you don't already. Eric is at SamskyNYC. I'm at DJ Short. Take care, everyone. Good luck in your leagues this week. We will see you next time.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.